afternoon. We're ready for argument in the case involving the water rights of the King Consolidated Ditch Company. We're ready to hear from the appellant.
Good afternoon. My name's Adam Reeves. I'm with the law firm of Maine Bradford Ships and Sheftel. It's my honor to represent the appellant in this matter, the Southern Ute Indian Tribe. The tribe asked that this court carefully evaluate two threshold legal issues which inform the water court's denial of the tribe's motion to intervene. First, the tribe asked that this court examine whether the special statutory proceeding for a determination of water right may be invoked to obtain a declaratory interpretation of a general adjudication which affects all water rights decreed under that adjudication. Secondly, the tribe asks this court to determine whether the relation back doctrine may be invoked to render an otherwise timely filed statement of opposition untimely. With respect to these issues, we think that they've been well briefed on both sides of the issue. On the issue of the scope of the special statutory proceeding, this court and SL group found that it exists for essentially one purpose, and that it needs to be it exists solely for the determination.
Can I ask you a threshold factual issue that I wasn't able to determine from the briefs?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
And that is whether these other cases are still pending?
They are, Your Honor.
They are?
They are, Your Honor. The trial dates were vacated, but the cases are still pending.
Okay, so this issue that your client wants to have raised, why can't it be raised and appealed in that ongoing case?
Well,
the underlying issue of whether the domestic and livestock rights were included in those original decrees.
Those original decrees are for junior water rights, or the pending water right cases are for junior water rights, Your Honor.
So a different set of water rights?
A different set of water rights, and in defense of the ditches were placed between a rock and a hard place. The ditches came in seeking new junior water rights for wintertime stock watering in those cases. The division engineer said, I think you already have the right to divert water under the general adjudications. The tribe disagreed with that. The tribe was unwilling to stipulate to an entry of the decree, recognizing the senior priorities under the general adjudications. The division engineer was unwilling to sign off on a decree that would have granted water rights under the junior priorities that the ditches had sought in the water rights.
They were seeking the same water rights but in the junior position?
Essentially, that's correct, Your Honor. They were seeking water rights for wintertime stock watering and domestic purposes.
And that would assume they didn't already have them?
That, in my view, that assumed that they didn't already have them. Then the division engineer, summary of consultation, came in and said, I think you already have them. And the ditches were in the untenable position of having the tribe say, we don't think you have them. Having the division engineers say, we think you have them. And these cases had been set for trial. We agreed that the proper way to resolve this was a declaratory judgment action.
Well, the tribe agreed to that.
We agreed that a declaratory judgment action needed to be filed if we were going to have some final legal resolution about what the scope of the water right decreed in the general adjudications was.
What was the surprise then when they filed for this application for a declaratory determination?
Well, the surprise, Your Honor, was they filed it within the determination of water right, as a determination of water right, not as a declaratory judgment action.
Oh, but didn't they have to do that because everybody on the stream who has a water right is potentially affected by these rights having a seniority under the original decrees, isn't that right? So how could a declaratory judgment action bind everybody else on the stream without this resume notice being given?
Well, the question from the tribe's perspective, Your Honor, is this properly framed as a determination of water right? And the statute's relatively clear about what a determinant, what is...
Well, I understand that, and I know you want to make your argument, but are you taking the position that everybody else would have to be personally served that has a water right on the stream to get them bound to in this declaratory judgment action?
Not at all, Your Honor. The position we're taking is that everyone whose rights are affected are included in those general adjudications should be served.
And how many parties would that be?
That's probably, it's probably at least 100, Your Honor.
Okay. That would require personal service.
Yes, and it's important to note that what the ditches sought was a decree interpreting not just their rights, but everyone else's rights arising under the general adjudications.
Is that the purpose of resume notice, which is to bind the affected water rights on the stream to the outcome, and you come in and put up or shut up if you don't appear, right?
Yes, Your Honor, but those are cases within the statute for determination of water right. They are not, as in this case, seeking a declaratory determination that would expand very senior water rights, expand the most senior water rights on the stream.
But okay, one more question. I know you want to get on with your argument. I'm sure.
I welcome your questions.
But your position then is that there isn't an opportunity for your client to raise this in those pending cases that have been stayed, the issue of whether or not the...
No, because Your Honor, those cases would, in all likelihood, be dismissed, because the...
But you're in the case already. The tribe is in the case. Can't the tribe force that to trial?
No, Your Honor, because they could, the ditches could very easily dismiss those pending water rights applications, and of course they would, because they are junior water rights.
Based on having obtained this determination,
that's determination, which says exactly what the ditches were seeking, and in fact gives them a much more senior priority than what they were seeking.
Thank you.
And just before you finish up on that, so that I understand, in terms of what you're part of and what you're not a part of, it's clear here you tried to intervene and were denied that privilege. Is that right?
That's correct. Actually, we filed, in our view, we filed a timely statement of opposition measured against the statutory time for filing, which is the filing of a... it's 2 months after the filing of an application. In our view, the application cannot be deemed filed until the verification was filed.
So you actually tried that, and when you were denied that, then you tried to intervene, and then you were denied the right to intervene.
We did both simultaneously. We filed a statement of opposition in an abundance of caution, realizing that there was this potential issue. We filed a motion to intervene. Now, as I was saying, a determination of the water right, the special statutory proceeding for determination of water right, is very specific with respect to what's included. It does not include, for example, an injunction. It does not include, this court has found, an injunction. It does not include an attempt to have a water right abandoned. What it does include is a determination of a new absolute or conditional water right, making a conditional right absolute, a change of water right, a plan for augmentation, a finding of reasonable diligence for a conditional water right, the approval of an exchange, and oddly, any change or in a plan or plan to export water from the Colorado River Basin.
But if you look at that statute, that's including, and I think you're construing that to mean only those, and I think you have the problem of explaining why the statute says determination of a water right, and then it says including. It doesn't say which means these or only these. So how do you respond to that?
Well, I think, Your Honor, the statute makes clear that in each of these cases, what binds these together is they deal with discrete water rights or a number of water rights in some cases, and these are actions brought by the owners of these water rights. In this case, what the ditches have done, they have brought actions to construe not only their rights, but the rights of everybody else under those decrees. And the water court entered a decree to that effect.
See, that's precisely what would make the resume notice the device for binding everybody on the stream. And that's why I'm concerned that your argument tries to carve out something that's a civil procedure kind of action for declaratory judgment independent of the of the, either you have conceded this, you're, the tribes conceded this, this is a water matter.
This is a water matter, and this court has said that the scope of water matters exceeds the scope of a determination of water right. That the jurisdiction of the water, of the water court is broader than the determination of water rights. I mean, the court has been very clear and has said that the Water Rights Determination Act, because it is an abrogation of the ordinary service procedures, has to be construed strictly. And in this case, the declaratory determination sought, which binds not only the applicants, but everyone under those decrees, not everyone on the stream, everyone under those decrees, vastly expands the scope of those decrees in our view. That's very different than coming to the water court and seeking a new junior water right, or seeking to have a change recognized, seeking to quantify the historical consumptive use of a particular water right. This is a declaration that affects not particular water rights, but virtually all senior water rights in the Pine River. I'd also like.
So your distinction, if I understand it, is what you're saying is the class of things included are mentioned after the word including in the Determination Act involves only things that affect a distinct water right, whereas this action affects all of the claims on the stream.
This action, to the extent that the property rights of the people under the general adjudications, it binds all of them. It doesn't simply bind, the court's determination in this case doesn't simply bind the ditches who applied for this, it binds everyone.
Oh, I was wondering if you could sort of help me understand how that is different in kind from all of these other determinations that are specifically mentioned in the statute.
Well, for example, certainly in a change case, change of use case, there would be an exploration of whether the diversions occurred consistent with the decree. In this case, what has happened is that issue's already been resolved with respect to all water rights under this general adjudication. All wintertime diversions are now, and it's important to note that these wintertime diversions that the ditches obtained, they're in the same amounts as for irrigation. They're as much water as they're able to divert during irrigation season. Now, everyone bound by these decrees, or everyone whose rights were confirmed in these decrees, rather, is now in the position where they can claim that any wintertime diversion they make for stock water is under these decrees. And importantly, what these decrees did is they confirmed a pre-existing water right. And the language that was construed is in the nature of nothing herein shall be held to limit the rights herein decreed for irrigation to incidental stock water and domestic as the rights were heretofore wont to be used. So
excuse me, I don't understand your point. Sure, you're saying that their winter use of the water would be coextensive with the summer irrigation use?
The decree that they obtained from the Division 7 Water Court allows them to divert water in the same amounts during the wintertime for stock and domestic uses as they can divert during the summer irrigation season.
And in your view, that is what? Incorrect, beyond the scope of the authority?
In our view, that's not consistent with the terms of the decree.
Original decrees.
The original decrees.
Which referred to domestic use. They did, right?
They did.
And that included wintertime domestic use, right?
They did not mention season of use, Your Honor.
Well, domestic is year-round use, right? I mean, typically?
Typically, domestic would be year-round use.
Yeah.
But stock watering would also be year-round use.
But there's also an issue of the quantity of the water right. And what this decree did is it allowed them to divert in the full amounts for irrigation. It's also important to note that the decrees indicated that domestic and stock water were incidental to the primary diversion for irrigation.
Well, that was the wording of the original decree?
That's the wording. That's substantially the wording of the original.
But what those historic decrees meant was in-house water and enough to get the stock through the winter, right? I mean,
I think what those meant is that there was no prohibition from using water in your ditch for domestic purposes on your ranch and for watering your stock. Now, the season of use issue wasn't addressed in those decrees, and certainly they may be entitled to some wintertime season of use, but the idea that the amount that they're allowed to divert in the winter when their demands are very much less than in the summer when their plants are consuming vast amounts of water is the same.
This may not be in front of us, but I would just point out that that every decree has implied within it the beneficial use requirement. You can't divert any more, regardless of the face of your decree, unless you need it for actual beneficial use. Isn't that right? So there is an implied limitation on what they can divert for these uses.
There is an implied limitation, but also, Your Honor, that decree is based upon diversions that occurred prior to its entry. They cannot expand those diversions. And if this were in a change of use proceeding, there would be inquiries made about what the statement of claim was, what the testimony was during the general adjudication with respect to wintertime diversions. And that's not the case here. That has been taken away in any future change of use proceeding by the decree of the water court.
Reese, could you just, I guess I'm slow on the uptake here. What, under 302, precisely why, what's the language that tells you this is not, is a declaratory judgment that requires service of 100 people and elimination of resume notice?
Under 302?
Yeah.
I don't think it derives from 302, Your Honor.
I think
302 tells us what the limits of a determination of water right are. What the service requirements are come under the Uniform Declaratory Judgment Act or under Rule 57. 302, I don't think, is implicated in this case. 302 tells us what a determination of water right is. When a determination of water right is not at issue, then we look to the ordinary rules of civil procedure and the declaratory judgment.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Except what could be more the essence of a water court than to determine what its decrees, you know, read across all the water judges that have occupied the particular chair mean and grant?
Well, I think that it, and we haven't disputed that this is properly within the jurisdiction of the water court, that this is in fact a water matter. What we have disputed is that this is a determination of water right.
What is being determined, what Judge Lyman determined, were the rights that are held under those decrees by those water users. That's what he determined, right?
And Judge Lyman could do that in the context of a properly filed application for determination of water right relating to a discrete set of water rights. He may have been able to do it with respect to the water rights that the ditches hold. But what he did is he said not only, and this is what the ditches sought to do. He said this doesn't, my interpretation doesn't just apply to the people that are before me, who are seeking to have a construction of the decree, the application of this decree to their particular water rights confirmed in the general adjudication. What Judge Lyman said is, in the general, with respect to the general adjudication, every single water right hereunder, without taking of any evidence, what Judge Lyman said is every water right hereunder, including water rights held by the tribe, every single water right hereunder is entitled to divert during the winter time in its full decreed amount for domestic and stock purposes. Not simply the water rights of the people who had filed an application. This is very much different than them seeking clarification of what they are allowed to do with their water rights. Frankly, they could have brought that they could have sought that determination of law in the context of the water rights cases that were then pending.
So I think that I now gather what you're saying is it doesn't fit in the determination of law because everything under the scope of the determination of law section concerns the rights of the claimant or applicant under that. And in this particular action, this concerns the rights not only of the claimant or applicant, but also directly decrees regarding the rights of others. Not just that other rights are affected,
well,
but specifically decreeing their rights. Is that the distinction that you're making?
Well, I think our distinction is twofold. I think, first of all, our position is that the identification of the actions which are a determination of water right is exclusive. And what is important about that is when you look at it, is exactly as you said, these relate to...
So you read including, because that's the language that Justice Hobbs quoted to you at the beginning, as followed by an exclusive list.
That's correct. And I couldn't certainly invoke Justice Scalia for the canons of construction saying the list of things, the list of certain things excludes other things, but I'd rather not invoke Justice Scalia before this court. Irrespective of that, with respect to what a determination of water rights is, they didn't just seek the determination of their water rights. They sought a determination of everyone's water right. And this case, in this court has said with respect to abandonment, for example, where I'm going in and seeking to have someone's water right abandoned, what I'm seeking is a determination that they intended to abandon it and they did abandon it. The court has said that's not a determination of water right. I see very little difference between that and this case where the ditches have come in and said, we want to say, we don't want to just have our water rights construed. We want to have everyone else's water rights construed.
I'm sorry, I think it's in the stack, but I thought the decree referred to specific cases.
It does not, Your Honor.
It does not.
And it is in the record. And if the court would like, I would be happy to produce it.
The application was for specific cases, right?
The application sought to have construed the water rights not only of the ditches that were applicants, but also every other ditch under the general adjudication.
Okay, the Morrison Consolidated, King Consolidated, the Thomas Epperson, the Pine, the Sullivan Ditch, the Bear Creek, those are what you're talking about.
Those are the ditches who are the athletes. And they sought not only a construction of their water rights under the general adjudications, but a construction of everyone's water right. The second issue I want to talk about is the verification requirement for the filing of an application for a determination of water right. Assuming that this case was properly filed as an application for a verification of water right, we think the statute's plain that a verification is required. The statute says quite plainly that it shall be initiated with the filing with the water clerk of a verified application. In this case, an unverified application was filed in the end of March of 2009. Published resume notice was published in the April resume. In May, at the end of May, a late filed verification was made, and the tribe filed its statement of opposition at the end of June. Measured by the statutory standard that essentially says a statement of opposition is due within 2 months of the filing of an application, the tribe's application, or the tribe's statement of opposition, rather, was timely filed, in our view. The only thing that renders the tribe's statement of opposition not timely filed was the water court's determination that the relation back doctrine applied. And this court has never determined that the relation back doctrine applies to an application for determination of water right, and the verification of that application. And so with respect to, assuming this is, for the purposes of argument, both properly framed as a determination of water right, and that the relation back doctrine applies, then we get to the question whether the judge abused his discretion in denying the tribe's motion to intervene. And in looking at the excusable neglect issue, this is a case where there had not been verification filed. In the tribe's view,
the application was not complete until the justification had been filed. And as a result, solely of the judge's determination that the verification related back, the tribe's application was deemed late filed. The judge was the one who determined that the application had been late filed, and this is a matter that had never been considered by this court before. And it's important to note that this case was at a very early stage. The only things that had occurred were the filing of an unverified application, the publication in the resume, the summary of consultation from the division engineer, the late filed verification when the tribe filed its motion to intervene. There had not even been an initial status conference.
Well, what's the reason that the statement of opposition wasn't filed in response to the resume? It's a great mystery, really. When you received actual notice?
Well, we received resume notice. We did not receive actual notice. The actual notice provided that the ditches assert was an unsigned, unverified application for determination of water right.
I don't think that's responsive. Why wasn't even for protective purposes, a statement of opposition filed?
Well, Your Honor, in hindsight, a statement of opposition would have been filed, I'm sure. I'm sure that the ditches would have filed their verification with their application. But in this case, that's not what happened. The tribe determined that its time for filing was when the application had been filed. We believe that the application had been filed when the verification was filed, and we filed arguably late. Hindsight being 2020, we would have in all likelihood behaved differently. With that, I would like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal if there are no further questions.
And so before you go, can I just one quick question on the relation back? Just help me understand why you think relation back does not apply. Because it's a statutory requirement, is that?
Because it's a statutory requirement. This court has said that the Water Rights Determination Act has to be strictly construed. And Section 302 says that an application for determination of water right is initiated by the filing of a verified application.
Okay, so basically, if it's in statute, it can't ever, nothing could relate back.
Well, in this statute, if the statute's to be strictly construed and the provisions of the statute are to be strictly construed, certainly the verification cannot relate back.
Thank you.
And do I understand it correctly? The effect of that, though, is by treating it as a relation back, pretty much the only effect of that was to make you untimely in responding.
I think that's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Honorable Justices of the Supreme Court, my name is Jeff Craig, counsel for the Appellee Ditch Companies in this case. I'll be arguing the issue of whether this case presents a determination of water rights under the Water Right Determination Act with the use of resume notice procedures. My co-counsel, Ms. Agro, is going to address the issue of the relation back of the verification and the grounds for intervention in water cases. So I'd like to take about 16 minutes for my argument and reserve about 14 minutes for her argument, if that pleases the court. Your Honors, let me give you a little more history to address some of the questions that you've raised. The reason many of these ditches filed for junior water rights initially was because there was some big water filings pending on the Pine River. There was a second fill filing for Vicedo Reservoir, and there was also going to be an in-stream flow filing that was going to be coming down the pipe very soon. So as a protective measure, several of these ditch companies filed for water rights. Some of them were clearly for junior water rights. Some of them, I believe, could have come under either junior water rights or under the original decrees because they described the original appropriation dates. But those filings were necessary to protect against big filings that were coming. As to the existing decrees had always been administered by the division engineer to include stock watering and domestic uses as incidental to agriculture. And that's what the original decrees said. What we tried to do in the new water rights cases was to achieve a negotiated resolution in those cases and a decree in those cases, which would confirm that the uses we were seeking were part of the original decrees. We couldn't accomplish that in those, I think it was 7 separate cases. So what we did to make this whole process more efficient was we filed a new case, a new application, that said we want to adjudicate the original, we want the court to confirm that the original decrees include stock watering and domestic uses incidental to agriculture, as defined in the preamble of those cases. That's what the preamble said. Preamble of 1248 said that you can use domestic uses incidental to agriculture. Preamble of 1248B said that you can use domestic uses and stock watering incidental to agriculture.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yes, could you just explain to me, I don't understand why you didn't do that in the first case. I mean, you had these 7 cases. It sounds like you're filing a second case now. What's the purpose?
The second case was designed to resolve the issue for all of the ditches.
Why wasn't it resolved in the first 7 cases? You could have had that anyway, right?
We couldn't agree on that. And arguably, those first 7 cases, some of them which were clearly filed as new water rights, would have required republication and giving further resume notice, so that it was clear in those cases that they were seeking an adjudication of uses under existing decrees. So rather than republish all those cases, it was more efficient to file one case that applied to all the ditches and everybody in those original decrees. And the reason it was necessary that this new case applies to all the ditches that were originally adjudicated is because the uses were defined in the preamble. And the preamble applies to the 115 ditches and reservoirs that were adjudicated in those decrees. So we didn't file it as we just wanted the preamble to apply to our 10 ditches. It had to apply to everybody because we were asking the water court to construe the preamble of those cases.
That's because those were general adjudications.
Correct, Your Honor.
Yeah, before the 69 Act.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And so I believe the way we did it was the only way that we could do it.
I just asked you a question about your terminology there, which sort of goes to the heart of the problem. You said you filed an application. So you took it as you were applying for the adjudication of a water right?
That's correct.
It doesn't sound like that. It sounds like you were asking for some kind of a declaration about a previous water right, a previous adjudication.
That's right, we were. But that is a determination of water right.
Well, I guess that's the question. All I'm trying to narrow down is, so you don't understand, though, that you were seeking to adjudicate a new water right or a change of water right?
No, Your Honor. We were seeking to confirm pre-existing uses that were already decreed under those general stream adjudications. Your Honor,
why did you email copies of the second application to the tribe?
Because we had discussions with the counsel for the tribe and the other pending stock cases that we were going to hold those cases in abeyance and stay the trials in those cases while we adjudicated this question of what uses are part of the original decrees. So we had those discussions. We told them when we were going to file it. We sent them an email before we filed it as to when we were going to file it, what it was going to be about. Within 3 minutes after we filed it, we emailed the application to counsel for the tribe. Subsequent to that, in the pending stock cases, we filed motions to stay, which said that we'd filed this case in 09 CW 2022 to confirm these uses as part of the original decrees. The tribe consented to that, so they had ample resume as well as actual notice. Your Honor, you're called upon today to decide what cases come within the term determination of water rights. As we've laid out in our brief, we believe the court needs to engage in standard statutory construction and look at the plain meaning of those words, determination of water rights. The word determination, if you look at Webster's, that means the act of settling questions or disputes by an authoritative decision such as by a court. The term water right is specifically defined in the statute, and that means a right to use in accordance with its priority a certain portion of the waters of the state by reason of the appropriation of the same. Thus, cases for a determination of a water right include all cases where an applicant requests a water court to settle questions of an applicant's right to use certain waters of the state under certain priorities. That would include our case.
Would that include an abandonment?
No, Your Honor, it would not, because the Colorado Supreme Court has already said that abandonment cases cannot be brought with resume notice.
Doesn't it seem to you that an abandonment termination would decide whether somebody had a right to use the water or not?
That's true, Your Honor, but the reason that you can't bring an abandonment case, and the Colorado Supreme Court makes this distinction in its case law. And the distinction comes down to this. When you're filing a claim on the river, when your claim is on the river, you provide resume notice. When your claim is against specific individuals, you got to serve them with a complaint. And that makes sense, because as Justice Hobbs said, if you're filing a claim on the river, it potentially affects everybody on the river.
I thought it was your resume notice was adequate if it was a determination of water right.
That's right.
So you're equating for us a question of the river and determination of water right.
What determination of water, what this court has said is that cases that are included in a determination of water right are cases where you file a claim on the river to confirm your rights, to confirm your uses, to change your water right, because those cases potentially affect everybody on the river. And therefore, the only efficient way to do it, the only possible way really to do it, is resume notice. But when you're filing a claim against specific individuals, those third parties are identifiable, they're specifically affected by your case, and so they should be served with a complaint. And that's the distinction that the case law
has. Sure, abandonment is a particular owner of a water right. You're declaring that water right to be abandoned, so personal service doesn't involve everybody else, except they move up in priority, I guess. But that kind of action is aimed directly at a specific water right, a specific structure, and the owners of that water right. So that's what I think our court said at that time, given those facts, is you need to personally serve the entity that you're going against for abandonment.
That's correct, Your Honor, precisely. In the Gardner case, this court said, if you're going to abandon somebody's water right, that affects that person, and it enhances your decree. So you're not filing your own water rights, which would be resume notice. You're trying to abandon somebody else's water rights. You know who they are, you can serve them with a complaint.
The difficulty I'm having with this argument is, in a way, you seem to have put the cart before the horse. That is, you're moving away from your argument that of what the definition of determination of a water right is. And you seem to now be arguing that, in essence, you first determine whether resume notice is necessary or not, given how it affects rights. And then, depending on that determination, it fits or does not fit within this particular statute, within determination of a water right. So I guess I don't understand how whether resume notice is necessary relates to your statutory construction argument about what is and what is not a determination of a water right.
Justice Martinez, what the case law has said is that it's not that you determine whether a resume notice is necessary first. You determine the type of case that you've filed. And if the type of case that you've filed is a claim on the river, not a claim against specific third parties, then it follows that you must file resume notice. That's the whole purpose of it.
Is that, when you say the case law, is that based on an understanding of the nature of the statute and what is a determination of a water right?
Yes, Your Honor. If you look at this court's prior precedent, for example, in the Bar 70s Enterprise case, it speaks to the purpose of the resume notice provision. And I quote, this court said, because the nature of water appropriation makes it extremely difficult to know or identify persons whose water rights might be adversely affected by an application, the applicant is not required to join or notify those persons. Notice is provided to potential opponents through resume notice procedures. If we adopted the tribe's position in this case, that would unravel one of the central purposes of the Act, which is to provide for efficient and effective notice to all water users on the stream. If the tribe is entitled to personal service, and Justice Hobbs posed this question, then so is every other water user on the stream. What we'd have to do is we would have to identify all water rights on the stream, not just the water rights adjudicated in the general stream adjudications, and those were 115. We'd have to find out who those owners are, as well as all the owners of water rights on the entire Pine River, which would include expensive chain of title work. If that could be accomplished, then you'd have to identify all the unadjudicated water rights, because they could be affected too. And that would involve walking the stream banks of the Pine River from its source to where it leaves the state line in New Mexico. And if you could do that, you'd also have to identify all the undecreed wells. And if you could accomplish all that, then you'd have to serve all of those hundreds or possibly thousands of people with a complaint. That would cost tens of thousands of dollars before you ever file an application, if it could even be done.
Sort of an inherent problem, and true generally, that declaratory judgments, when one seeks to have a question answered before there's actually a controversy involving litigants, can be really tricky sometimes in bringing in all the right parties.
It can be, Your Honor, but usually in a declaratory judgment action, you're bringing that against specific third parties that are identifiable. You have a dispute against third parties, you know who they are, and you can serve them with a complaint. If your claim is on the river, you can't do that. And again, I think that's the distinction that this court has drawn.
Let me ask you this. This is really a lightning-fast case that Judge Lyman did, incredibly fast, in the face of a party that is a primary holder of water rights, who appears to have been shut off from really having a voice to say about whether these prior decrees really do authorize what he said they authorize. And isn't it reasonable, given the fact that the forms need to be verified, for the tribe to take the position that they didn't have to file the statement of opposition until the verification appeared? Now, what is wrong with that argument, that they were entitled to wait, consult with their clients, whatever they needed to do, until that verification showed up, and run the 60 days from there? Because the forms plainly in the statute talk about verification. So what's wrong with that explanation of why they waited?
Your Honor, I can address that very briefly, but my co-counsel, Ms. Agro, is going to elaborate on that question. But just very briefly, the court, this case law is clear in this court that relation back is not required. I mean, there's an early case in this court that said that relation back is not necessary. It's just a procedural matter, and it's so the court, the purpose of it is so the court has an application under oath, so that it could know that the facts were true when it enters its case.
That's exactly my point, though. You enter a statement of opposition, or you don't enter it, based on verified facts that are alleged to be true. Now, you can decide that the facts are true and not oppose, right? Until someone verifies that the facts asserted in the application are true, why should you have to file a statement of opposition? I'm saying this is a pretty tight and inequitable-looking case for a judge to deny intervention and go right to a decree in the face of a party that has substantial interest on the river. And there are pending cases before the judge where this has been raised. It's a rapidity of justice that for water cases is just amazing, almost stupefying, isn't it?
Your Honor, I believe that the strict construction for relation back only applies to the notice issue. But if I could, can I have Ms. Agro come up and argue that? And I'll reserve some additional time to finish my argument.
Your Honor, I would like to address that and also the issue of the rapidity that you raised.
Excuse me, could you please state your name for the record and who you represent?
I'm Nancy Agro, Your Honor. I'm co-counsel on these cases. And it should be noted that the pending stop cases that were filed had multiple recommendations of the division engineer. And in those cases, the recommendation of the division engineer included the final one specifically stated that they did not support any water right, that they felt like there needed to be some sort of determination by the court in a single action as to the language of the general stream adjudications. So in terms of the rapidity, I think that it had been a long time coming. Those cases have been pending for a very long time, and the court was aware of that. But getting to the issue of the verification, Your Honor, this court, in a water case, Estes versus Cran,
did determine that the verification was not jurisdictional in nature at all, was simply procedural, and that it can be waived by either party or by the court. It's simply a tool for the court to use in making findings of fact when it's entering its decree. If there's not going to be a hearing because either there's no opposers or because the parties have stipulated, then the court wouldn't have to have a hearing in order to have verified statements. It doesn't apply to notice at all. The issue as to relation back in the cases, and that would be the City of Thornton versus Fort Collins, where the test is whether an amended pleading relates back to the date of the original filing is if it, excuse me for one second, sort of took me out of order here, whether it arises out of the conduct, transaction, or occurrence that was set forth in the original pleading. And the court in City of Thornton versus Fort Collins specifically discussed that it was a notice issue. If a claim or an amended pleading provided adequate notice to the other parties, then it relates back. In this case, the verification is not part of the water resume. It's never part of a water resume.
I think maybe I didn't make myself clear here. Mm-hmm. You can file a statement of opposition, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can file an intervention, mm-hmm. right? They're both allowed. So obviously the legislature intended intervention to cure some kind of thing that didn't happen during the 60 days for a statement of opposition. Would you agree with that?
Well, and I would point out that the legislature did actually set forth the criteria for the court to look at. And in this case, not only did the legislature do it under the civil rules, but they did it in the water case itself, and that there has to be excusable neglect, some sort of surprise mistake, an unexpected surprise that they too many notes in front of me, and I apologize for that. I wanted to actually quote the statute if I could. An unavoidable hindrance or accident. In this case, the tribe has never alleged that. All they alleged is that they reviewed the pleadings. They didn't think they needed to answer in time. They stated today that, in hindsight, they probably should have filed something. They missed the deadline, and this case was in its final stages. The parties had already agreed on a decree, and it really wasn't rapid. This had been ongoing for numerous years. The parties had been meeting with the division engineer, with the tribe, which I understand that maybe those facts aren't before this court, but there had been meetings with the division engineer, with the tribe, and council present. Under those original cases, many of those ditches actually filed pro se when they filed those original stock water cases for junior water rights. So when the division engineer's recommendation came out and said, well, we believe this is included in the preamble of the 1248 and 1248B cases, that's when it became clear that we needed to file a separate action. We had discussions with the tribe that a separate action was going to be filed. We gave them the date by which it was filed. It was filed 2 days early. They were noticed immediately. The application itself states that it's filed under the Water Rights Determination Act, as does the motion to stay the pending stock cases, of which the tribe was a party, referenced back to that case. If the tribe had felt that this was not properly pled as water rights under the Water Rights Determination Act, it was their duty to come in and file timely on that issue. And the court astutely indicated that it was trying to advance the clear statutory intent of the Water Rights Determination Act, which is to provide an expedient and final two-phase method to provide consideration and resolution of water matters within the expertise of the water court, requiring interested parties to bring relevant issues to the attention of the division engineer to be addressed in its consultation report prior to the ruling. They did not do that. They missed the deadline. The court did not find that they met the criteria for excusable neglect, which, of course, unless that was an abuse of discretion, cannot be overturned. They have not alleged anything that would show excusable neglect, except that they didn't review the documents.
May I ask a question right along that mm-hmm. point? If even if it turns out they're wrong and this could be treated as a as an determination of a water right, and therefore subject to a resume notice. Would the argument that it is not, and that it would had to have been raised by actual notice, be sufficient, a sufficient or colorable claim on their part to justify their having not anticipated that they would be having to respond to an attempt on your part to get a declaration of the meaning of a prior adjudication, as to get that they would not be responding to that as part of an application for water right, application for adjudication of a water right?
No, Your Honor, because the application clearly stated on its face that it was an application under the Water Rights Determination Act. Had they believed truly that it was not a proper water rights, not filed properly under the Water Rights Determination Act, they should have filed a proper, a timely notice.
I guess what I'm asking is it reasonable for them not to have realized this would be at issue in this kind of a case, or not to be looking for it to be at issue with something presented merely by resume notice as opposed to individual? It seemed to me from what's gone on here, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like you were both very much aware that they were opposed to what you wanted by filing this case, and as a matter of fact, I can't tell, but it may very well be that that was one of the precipitating factors in you filing as you did. Mm-hmm. And yet, rather than making an effort to bring them in, it seems as if you may be making every effort to prevent them from responding.
Your Honor, I would disagree. We made every effort to bring them in by actually providing them notice within 3 minutes of the filing. If we had served them a service of process, Your Honor, I believe that we would then have opened the door to service of process to hundreds and potentially thousands of people, as my co-counsel presented. I don't think we have the ability to serve them by service of process. I think the courtesy notice by email, it was also, again, it was referred to by case number in the motions to stay the pending stock cases, which were consented to. So I think we did everything that we could without opening that door to something with unintended consequences.
What about the, what's a little troubling is the judge knows that the tribe, or should know, and you know that the tribe's objecting to what you want to do in these seven old cases, right? And that's one of the reasons why you're having to go to this procedure, I assume.
Well, Your Honor, initially the tribe had, I believe, sent a letter, I know this isn't in the record, had sent a letter to counsel that they generally approved of the concept, and the division engineer's recommendation, which is in the record, references that the tribe was in general agreement. However, during negotiations, there was a lot of discussion about whether or not there needed to be specific things in a decree as to how it would be administered. And it was our position that all we were asking for is an interpretation that the original stream adjudication included winter, year-round stock water and domestic use incidental to agriculture. And then it was up to the division engineer to administer the stream in accordance with his procedures.
That's the point that bothers me is there seven cases pending, they're unresolved, and yet it seems on the other hand that there's a gotcha argument being made on a very technical argument to not permitting an opposer to intervene. And why isn't that? I understand, I mean, I don't know, I just, it just seems a little weird, and all of a sudden the case is resolved in 3 or 4 days.
Your Honor, well, the case was essentially done and had been a long time in the works, because during the pending stock cases, we had been discussing these things, and so...
Well, if it had been done, wait a minute, I'm just mixed up here. If it had been done, and it was all not a problem, then I don't see why you had to even go through this whole new procedure.
I don't mean done from an adjudication standpoint, Your Honor. I meant it was everybody, the division engineer and the parties, had a plan of action as to how to move forward, and it was discussed with the tribe. That's why there were emails back.
Yeah, but they were troublesome. They got in the way. They wanted to have a trial on this issue, probably.
Well, they should have filed a timely statement of opposition.
Well, I understand, but this smells and looks a lot like a default by parties and a judge who know darn well that this is a central issue regarding this stream system and this party. Now, I understand what you're arguing.
I think that the statute is mandatory, and I think the court was required to consider the undue delay and prejudice. I think the court was required to consider whether there was excusable neglect, and the court found that there was none because there was resume and actual notice sufficient to trigger an inquiry, and none of those were met. If the court strayed from that, then the court would be making a finding with no basis whatsoever because they have not alleged any grounds that would permit them to intervene. They had actual and resume notice. They simply missed a deadline. Time elapsed, and if I might, Your Honor, I want to address just the verification issue because it does actually relate back. And Estes versus Cran, I don't think I addressed that with you yet, is very clear. That was a water case where at the time the statute did require, that was a Colorado water case, the statute did require verification. The court said it was procedural, it's a technical defect, it did not affect the jurisdiction of the court. Then you go to Thornton versus Fort Collins, and in that case, the court said it relates back as long as it arises out of the transaction or occurrence, which mirrors the language of Rule 15C. So clearly, the verification is a red herring issue. The verification relates back to the data filing. It's procedural in nature. And I want to give my co-counsel just a couple minutes, unless there's any more questions on that issue.
Your Honors, I'd like to address a couple of issues that Justice Hobbs brought up. The statute, as you stated, Mr. Hobbs, says including. It says a person who wants a determination of a water right or a conditional water right, including all these things. And including all those things is not meant to be exhaustive, I think, as Justice Hobbs has stated. If you look at the definition of including in Webster's, it means part of a whole. It doesn't mean a whole, it's part of a whole. So it's intended that that list is not exhaustive. And in fact, if you look at that list, it doesn't specifically identify a new water right. A new water right clearly would be a determination of water rights, but the statute doesn't say that. It also doesn't say a case to confirm uses, water uses, as we're doing here. But if we look at the plain meaning of the statute, we look at the court's case law, I think this clearly comes under a determination of a water right.
All of the things listed, though, are adjudication of rights that have not yet been adjudicated. Is that not right?
No, Your Honor.
Some of them are a declaration of rights that already exist, that have been adjudicated.
For example, many of those things relate to existing water decrees. For example, applications to make water rights absolute or applications for due diligence. Those relate to existing water rights. Change cases relate to existing water rights.
To do something else to an existing water right.
Right.
Not to make clear or declare a right that's already been adjudicated.
Your Honor, you could analogize this case to a change case. Where in a change case, the court would have to confirm the uses that were historically part of a decree in order to decide if those uses could be changed over to other uses.
It would change.
Correct.
I guess the reason I ask that is you were talking about how we would construe include, but don't we frequently construe include under some circumstances to mean by naming some, we specifically exclude others? And in any event, don't we frequently look at a list of examples to decide that even if they can include more, the more that they can include should be in the nature of the things that are specifically listed?
Your Honor, in this case, I don't think so. If you look at the statute as a whole, I think the legislature, if it meant to mean that this was an exhaustive list of the things that could be included in the determination of water rights, as Justice Hobbs said, they could have used the words only these things, or a determination of water right, which means the following. And then I think the legislature would have made it clear. But in this case, they didn't use that language. And the term including, I think if you look at the definition, it's not meant to be exhaustive. And we know that some cases that are clearly in determination of water rights aren't listed, like a new water rights application. Thank you, Your Honors.
Honorable Justices, I have nothing further. I will not use my time for rebuttal.
Your Honor, use this time if I can. Yes, our questions.
Thank you. On behalf of the court, I thank all counsel for your arguments. The case stands submitted.